Legacy Listening. I'm Dave McIver, and I'm glad you're here for Season 5. Each conversation this season is designed to bring you closer to the people, values, and experiences that define Lamprey Nearson. Together, we're exploring how our work, our culture, and our commitment to collaboration shape the legacy we're building, one story at a time. So whether you're new to the show or you've been with us since the beginning, I want to encourage you to follow Legacy Listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. See, this season, we're taking you inside the conversations that shape Lamprey Nearson. We're exploring the connections between disciplines, the impact of community involvement, the realities of launching a career, and the stories of growth and leadership that define our firm. Each episode offers a new perspective on how you can lead, collaborate, and build no matter where you are in your career. Today, I am excited to kick off Season 5 with a conversation centered on one of the most foundational partnerships in our business, surveying and engineering. I'm joined by John Howell, Survey Project Manager, and Kayla Van Wielden, Senior Project Manager here at Lamprey Nearson. Together, they represent two disciplines that are deeply interconnected and essential to delivering successful projects. John, Caleb, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I'm excited to be part of the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation.
You bet. Well, let's just jump right in. Before we really get into project workflows and technical details, I really want to start where every career begins, with people. One of the things that I value most about Lamprey Nearson is that behind every discipline and behind every deliverable, each person and each employee has a story. Now, those stories shape how we approach collaboration, how we solve problems, and how we show up for each other. This year, our firm-wide mantra is the power of we, and for me, that idea really takes root when we understand one another's journeys. Those early experiences often define how we collaborate, how we connect, how we interact. You know, it's the things that drew us into this work, who influenced us along the way, those types of things. So, John, I want to start with you. Surveying is one of those disciplines that operates behind the scenes, and yet it's foundational, it's fundamental to what we do within this industry. I'd love for you to take us back a bit. How'd you find your way into surveying? What really sparked your interest in this field, and what's kept you invested in it over the years?
Yeah, so surveying is kind of something that I just stumbled upon. Coming out of high school, wasn't exactly sure, you know, what career I would fall into. So I remember looking through the courses and the programs offered at Southeast Community College.
And, sure.
There was land surveying, and thought it looked interesting, and ended up actually shadowing one of the classes out there at Milford. And thought it was interesting, and decided, you know what, I'm gonna give this a shot. Signed up, and you know, went through the surveying course. Graduated from Southeast Community College. Lamprey Nearson, you know, was my first and only job after college.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, the thing that sparked my interest with surveying is I liked the aspect of working out in the field and being active, also kind of the history, but then the future of potential. The other thing that's, I guess, kept me invested in surveying is the variety, I feel, of the projects that we have to offer here at Lamprey Nearson.
For sure. Yeah, I hear you there. I love the variety that we have as individuals, as employees at Lamprey Nearson. This industry provides us a lot of opportunity to see and experience and be a part of a number of different things. And I think it's nowhere more obvious than in surveying, because every day you're headed to a different location to do a different site. That's engaging, certainly for me as well. So, you know, you're deeply experienced in this work at this point, John. What excites you most about the role that surveying plays in setting projects up for success right from that very beginning?
Yeah. So I guess I enjoy kind of being the first boots on the ground, so to speak, on the site. That starts with the research on the site, whether it be, you know, just looking through old surveys or, you know, other documents, the quarter sections sheets, and, you know, just anything to kind of help us hone in and determine where, you know, that boundary may be on that property. And then, you know, actually going out on site there, completing the, you know, topographic or boundary survey, which, you know, is kind of the foundation, so to speak, for the project. You know, I feel like it all starts with the boundary and the topographic survey, you know, to get the project going. And it all starts with a strong foundation.
Yeah, for sure. And if you don't have that set right, then nothing else fits in the right place, and you wind up having to address a lot of additional challenges in the future. Whereas if you get that foundation right, then building on top of all of that becomes much easier to do. So Caleb, let's take a shift to the civil engineering side. It's a discipline that blends creativity with precision and this sense of responsibility with the importance of problem solving. Tell us a little bit about your own path. How'd you decide to pursue civil engineering, and what does your role look like today at LAMP?
Absolutely. I guess got the classic high school, good at math and science, liked problem solving. That's what every intern always answers when you ask them why you want to do civil engineering. But throughout college, found out that I liked the bigger scale projects, was drawn to construction projects. And in my head, that meant really civil engineering was the path to get there. Mm-hmm. So I pursued engineering as a degree and civil as my emphasis. And then through some internship experience, again, really enforced liking the construction aspect of it. Thought I was going to go work for a Hawkins or a Kiewit or a big GC for a while, but this opportunity at LAMP presented itself right after college, and my 10-year anniversary is this week. So
fantastic.
I've stuck it out.
Happy anniversary in that case.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. So as you've grown in your career, how's your experience shaped the way that you think about working alongside survey teams, survey project managers? What have you learned about the importance of that early coordination and shared understanding of the project?
It's definitely changed over time. I mean, when I first started, your head's so focused in getting the paper right, getting your designs correct, you sort of just get, you know, tunnel vision to look at what's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. But the more I've got experience, whether it be taking a work order down to survey and having a couple project managers that I won't name here rip into it pretty good. That's a good learning experience everyone. Yeah, that happened once or twice, and then hopefully I got better after there. To then understanding how important that topo perimeter coordination, utility crossing check is, just how critical, and honestly, the mistakes in that area can be so drastic that that's a hugely important part of the role. To now making sure that I get John what he needs to do his work in a timely fashion so the project schedule can be maintained, all the way through construction staking and making sure that everyone's got the correct files so we don't have errors on the back end after the project is completed. Just the process is... it is integrated, like you said. It's all kind of seamless from the start to the finish. We have to be able to work together well.
Yeah, and it's collaboration. We understand the value. It then comes down to communication. Are we providing the right information and kind of that why behind the information? Here's what we really need to be successful, and working that through from beginning to end that I think really makes it successful.
Understanding the type of information is provided to. I'm just thinking of like lessons learned throughout my early career of what format does survey need it in?
Right.
Why is that important?
Yeah.
Why do we have standards? What are they? That was a early lessons learned that I may have gotten from a few PMs back in the day.
And yet now you know what that is, and it's not just easy to work with. You have the understanding, and then it makes that collaboration just that much more successful.
For sure.
One of the things that I've noticed when it comes to our industry is that frequently folks that are on the outside looking in generally imagine our work to be pretty linear, we're going to start with the survey, and then when that's done, the information gets handed off to engineering, and then when that's done, it goes to the contractor. But really, in reality, it's far more dynamic than that. You were just describing a bit of that process, Caleb. You know, survey and engineering, we're in constant conversation, looping back and forth as the project evolves from concept through construction. There's got to be that back and forth feedback. And it's where a lot of the value and a lot of the learning happens. So, John, from your perspective, can you walk us through what that survey to engineering project lifecycle really looks like? Starting from that first site visit or the boundary determination, how does your team support engineering through each phase of design and construction? And where do you see collaboration making the biggest difference along the way?
Yeah, so usually starts with Caleb or another, you know, project manager coming down and with a work order and saying, hey, here's what we're looking for, here's what we need. You know, from there, it kind of, as we touched on earlier, starts with going out on the site and just starting with a boundary survey or the topographic survey to provide, you know, information, the data for design. If a purchase is necessary, generally an ALTA survey will be performed as well, which mm-hmm. just ensures the buyer, you know, that they have full knowledge of the property and any potential title issues. I guess, you know, after those would be performed, there would be any platting that would be necessary or mm-hmm. or the client, you know, desires. That would go along with those as well. And then from there, design would take the data and, of course, design whatever the project is. Mm-hmm. And along the way, I guess, if there's any additional topo or utilities, whatever additional information may be necessary. You know, once that's completed, we would be, you know, doing the construction staking, mm-hmm. which, depending on, you know, the specific project, that could be short-term or you know, kind of long-term, so to speak, for the next year or so. If any verification or as-builts would be necessary on these sites once construction is complete, we would complete those, you know, at the necessary time. You know, yeah. Kind of my outlook on the project life cycle for the most part.
And it makes sense, but in there you're highlighting the fact that there are repeated touches between surveying and engineering that happens that's necessary in order for this project to go from kind of a dream at the very beginning all the way to completion. It's not a one or two touches. It's repetitive, and it can take time, and it can be over a number of months or even more than a year where there's constant touches back and forth. So it makes sense, absolutely. Caleb, let's build on that just a little bit from your perspective. Looking at it from the engineering side, where do you see the most critical touch points with survey? How does that strong coordination, clarity in data, timing of deliverables, ongoing communication, those kinds of things, where does that strong coordination help you design with more confidence and efficiency?
Yeah, the critical touch points, I'll start with the end. Construction staking, I've worked with all the survey PMs, and those guys have caught hopefully not as many mistakes as a peer review, but sometimes they catch a few of them. Uh-huh. So we're just really blessed to have the services in-house and have a good staking team. Those guys have made our designs better. They've caught mistakes before they're in the ground, which is the best time to catch them, preferably as early as possible. But we've gotten many a call of, hey, we laid this thing out and something is wrong. Something looks funny. Something doesn't pass the smell test. John's really good at that. I think of a few school projects where he's just came up the other day and said, you got a foul pole on the wrong side of the fence. Was that intentional? And I said, no, that seems wrong. So that, you know, that's a silly one, but there's lots of grading that has an issue or a building has moved or been updated and we have not been told. So those mm-hmm. guys do a really good job catching that in the field. So that's the back end, the final touch point. The first understanding between the engineer or the project manager and the survey PM of what are we trying to do? What do we need to get? What does the topo look like? What are the areas that may be outside the limit of the building? That'll be critical, like a utility connection or a road, adjacent road improvement or something like that. having that good understanding early on will save us time and money in the long run.
For sure.
And then we kind of take it for granted that we do have really good topos and a really good survey department. So in the question of clarity in the data, haven't really had to worry about that in my career, which is super nice. One time I can remember where we were trying to figure out some of the scanning flight technologies. There was a few issues with one topo in particular, but we worked through that, and now our drone services are really robust, and we're really good at understanding how to use them. And it is, from an engineering perspective, you almost take for granted that that stuff is accurate.
Yeah.
These guys always do a good job of timing of their deliverables, whether it be a school site and you got kids, so you got to be from, you know, 9 to 2, and then you got to get in and out to not disrupt the flow, or whether it be off-season sports at a complex, and just making mm-hmm. sure we're working with the clients to get them the best product possible with as minimal disruption to their services as we can.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, jumping back to the example of foul pole on the wrong side of the fence, the fact that we're so good with collaboration means we all understand what are we trying to accomplish with the project. We have experience in doing these things. We have that path of communication to say, hey, something looks funny, rather than just charging forward and saying, well, clearly it must be right, so we're going to just keep going. It allows for that conversation, and you get there through repetitive collaboration and communication and experience and trust. And I think that exists between our engineering and surveying groups in spades, and it's what allows us to continue to rely on great data, have that communication, and then be able to make adjustments as we need to. Because you're right, nothing is perfect when we're talking about a three-dimensional project on a two-dimensional set of plans. And to have the whole team be able to talk about, hey, things are working great, or we need to make the adjustments. That's where all of that trust and collaboration really winds up shining.
Yeah, another great example of that. I had a survey PM catch on a baseball field. Our home to first to third was like 89.67 degrees. So it was beyond the level of precision that we even measured it, and it was caught by a survey PM. Mm-hmm. So not a huge deal around the base paths, but if you project that out 350 feet to the foul lines, you're off by several feet, and that field's going to look funny. So something as simple as that, of just a really thorough job and trying to stake something, caught an obvious mistake, but one that wasn't obvious if you were looking at the plans. You
sure.
really had to get into the nuts and bolts of it.
Well, I mean, this is a perfect segue. It's one thing to talk about collaboration in theory, but it's another to see it play out in real projects, as we've just been talking about, especially in those situations where it isn't perfect, where things don't go exactly as planned. We know that in any project, there are challenges. They're inevitable. They can come from site conditions, timelines, other unexpected constraints that we may or may not even have control over. And what really matters is how teams respond together. So, Caleb, we've been talking about specific examples. Are there other things that stand out to you, maybe another project where close collaboration between engineering and survey made a tangible difference, overcoming a challenge, reducing a risk, which is huge, or improving that final outcome? And what stands out specifically about how the teams worked together on the project to do that?
Yeah, I can think of one last summer where we had a school site where we got a topo from another engineering firm. It's something that happened in the past, and we did the design and we staked the project, and I had our survey project manager on the site and our construction CA member on the site both tell me, hey, this is looking a little funny. We got something going on here. The spots don't match the stakes. Something in the field looks different. So we were able to catch a fairly significant bust, like a 8-inch bust on a tie-in to paving, which would
That's a big bump.
Yeah, yeah, which would have been very detrimental to the project, and we were able to catch it before any of the concrete was in the ground. So, you know, that's a unknown mm-hmm. from a design side. We don't usually have issues with topo, and there was nothing in the area that would indicate something was wrong. So we were able to reduce our risk and ultimate liability on this issue, and you know, save our client and ourselves a bunch of money and time in the end.
Yeah.
And through that process, we have a good understanding of, hey, this is something, this is a problem that we need to solve in a month, a problem that needs to get solved this week, and a problem like these guys are out there, Brett Wavers would say, like scrapers idling, or, you know, there's a concrete truck on site, yep. Something like that. So we gotta address it right away. And John and his team have a pretty good barometer of urgency on some of those type of things. So I know I can trust him if he comes with me and says, we got a problem, same with CA, we got a problem, we got to look at it now, or we got a problem, we're going to talk about it in a meeting in a week, and then we'll get it solved. So over years of experience, we've built up that level of trust just to understand what's really important.
Yeah. There's a couple of things even as you're describing this specific situation, but really based on all of that experience that stands out to me. Your reference there is repetitively to we've got a problem. We don't do this on an individual basis, and we collaboratively address challenges, problems from the very beginning of design to what's going on in the field. We do it together across multiple groups. It takes me back to the power of we and that value in collaboration. And then we can see it play out in specific projects. It highlights that trust that really develops between teams over time. You were just referring over that experience, right? It takes a while, but we're there as a firm, as a company, and I think it speaks volumes. You know, survey often encounters those challenges right at the source, right, John? Out in the field. So tell us about a moment when conditions in the field required your team to adapt quickly, and where collaboration with engineering played that key role in working through the thing that the team found in the field. How did communication and shared problem solving really help guide that to its end, to all the way forward to being able to address the challenge in the field?
Well, first off, I think our design team does a great job. We don't run into issues too often, but they are to be expected, you know, to some degree, just part of the process, part of construction. I'm thinking of one instance, had a crew go out to stake a trail for and public improvements, and the trail, you know, started on the south side of the property, kind of wound up and tied into a street on the north side. The crew got on site. I received a phone call, and they said, is this trail supposed to be tying into the existing trail that's already here? And I said, what trail are you talking about? Not in our topo. And, you know, there was no, I looked at the recent imagery from 6 months ago on Google Earth, nothing on there. So the SID to the south of us, you know, decided they'd put a pretty little trail in there. So, you know, the crew recognized that, you know, was determined, hey, yes, we need to match into this, and let's go ahead and locate that trail. They got that information over to me. I gave our engineer a heads up, here's what's going on, and got them, you know, that data, the shots that the crew took, you know, within probably 10, 15 minutes, we received the new alignment for the trail. You know, we were able to stake it while we were out there. It didn't require another trip or anything like that. Communication was key there, you know, starting in the field, relaying it on to me and the office, and then collaborating with design and, you know, getting the job accomplished within, you know, an hour of the phone call.
That's great. The eyes in the field and the collaboration in the office to make all of that work, I think it's a perfect example of how frequently and how often we're working together, whether it's an existing challenge or something brand new that we can address together. Now, interestingly enough, you know, if we look at kind of the history of engineering and surveying, we know there's been massive impacts with technology. I mean, I think back to the start of my career, we weren't doing chaining anymore with survey, but we were still doing string lines with paving out in the field. We were still designing with spot elevations in two dimensions rather than really wholly looking at it with three-dimensional thought processes. So technology has really changed just about every aspect of how we do our work, from how it's captured, how that data is captured, to how it's shared and analyzed, and then turning those into design decisions. just as important then, it's changed how teams interact with each other. John, you were just talking about an example of team calling back to the office, recognizing we got issues. They can gather the data and then get it back digitally to the office in very short order. It used to take a trip and an extra day to go back out to be able to redesign all of that stuff. So how have advancements in technology transformed workflows for survey? In what ways have these tools improved the accuracy, speed, and just as importantly, the collaboration with the engineering teams?
Yeah, so, you know, technology is always changing in our personal lives, and, you know, it's no different in survey. Some of the new technologies that, you know, we offer are our scanners, as well as the drones, which, you know, we've kind of touched on. Mm-hmm. It is another tool, so to speak, for us. Not every job is going to require these technologies. It may make more sense to, you know, topo something traditionally if it's a smaller area, or if, you know, vegetation is going to be an issue. It's still probably a better idea, or going to be more efficient to pick that up traditionally. With these drones nowadays, I mean, you can cover an 80-acre site in a matter of hours versus days in the mm-hmm. field. So the data acquisition, you know, is much quicker, as well as the amount of data that you can collect is just, it's crazy. Looking at these point clouds nowadays, you get points inches apart instead of, you know, taking break lines every 25, 50 feet. The amount of data also is just impressive, and it's always improving. The X12 scanner that we purchased earlier this year can spray out several million points a second at up to like 1,000 feet, you know, with like a 1-inch grid. So the capabilities are just always improving,
yeah,
saving us time in the field. As well as another aspect I would touch on is with these technologies, it's also offering safer environments. Mm. You know, if we have sure. areas, I'm thinking of, you know, like a mine site in particular, if you have a vertical wall that's sloughing off or an area of concern, you know, we can scan that from a safe distance,
yeah,
get reliable data. Yeah, and as far as collaboration goes, I believe our design teams do a good job and are aware of these technologies and kind of know how it may fit into different projects. Mm-hmm. Another thing I think that's been useful for them is on a lot of these scan sites that we perform scans on, we also take 360 video, which it's essentially, well, what it sounds like. It's a video, but it has a 360-degree view of the site.
Sure.
And we'll walk around the area that we're acquiring data on, and the engineer, surveyor, whoever can look back at this, and, you know, it could very well save a site visit. It's just kind of another helpful tool
yeah,
for everyone.
For sure. Thanks, John. Well, Caleb, how does that technical evolution then translate into your day-to-day engineering work? How have those integrated models and this vast amount of digital data that we can now capture and the shared platforms that we use between engineering and surveying to get the information transferred back and forth, how's that improved coordination between the teams, and what benefits do clients ultimately see as a result of that?
I got two examples for that one. Funny enough, one was the 360 camera. I've had several engineers ask me, hey, can we just do this on all projects or on most projects? And so I think we're looking into, can even an engineer walk around with the backpack, with the camera, if they're doing a site visit, anywhere where we have a building addition or a complicated tight site. I mean, we had one last year. There's this long linear corridor between a wall and a building face and had all these nooks and crannies in it. Mm. It's so nice to be able to, essentially think like a Google Maps where you can pan on all sides. You can go up and down. Yeah. You can zoom in and out. I can see all those funny little spots that even if I walked it with my camera or taking pictures, I might have missed the back corner. Yep. And there's a box. Well, what's the box? With this 360 camera, it saved us a ton of time and money ultimately. With the drones and with the other technological methods of collection John talked about. I think about how we can maybe expand the footprint on a affordable from a time and money standpoint level, mm-hmm. whether it's before we were trying to get to the property line and just cheat to the curb line a little bit. Now it's quicker and easier to go, give me half the surrounding roads, or give me this panel, or give me this area, give me this little drainage that's on the neighbor's property that I'm going to need to know about. Mm-hmm. The speed that these guys can perform some of that is hugely helpful, along with our GIS capabilities we have in-house, which is part of the survey department, getting models, getting data, collecting, you know, acres of area so we can quickly interpret what's going on. I know our engineers are using that data like crazy, whether it be for an actual design, a quick drainage model, something to allow them to look beyond the individual site and try to make sure the neighboring properties are accounted for from a runoff, from a sight line, from a construction standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more data we can get, the better our designs can be at the end of the day. So I guarantee our clients are seeing results of enhanced collaboration, coordination, understanding of what will impact them at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a mix of that collaboration. We can be more efficient as a result of the information that we have from the very beginning, and it allows us to provide a level of service that not only have our clients come to expect, but it's really what we expect of ourselves, to be able to give them this excellent project from the very beginning, rather than having a ton of problems that we've got to solve through. So I think all of that technology has allowed us collectively to serve our clients and our communities better as a result. So we understand that technology brings great value, but we also understand that collaboration is driven by people, right? Strong interdepartmental relationships don't just happen because we park one person in engineering and another one in survey. It isn't like there's this automatic collaboration. Instead, it's built through communication and respect and that willingness to understand each other's perspectives. We've touched on this already just a little bit. So, John, you know, based on your experience and what you've kind of described here as well, what advice would you give to engineers or to project teams who want to work more effectively with survey? What are those simple actions, whether it's early involvement, better communication, mutual understanding? What are those simple actions that make the biggest difference in building trust and achieving those strong project outcomes?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of a simple answer for me. Just be as thorough and clear as possible. Mm. Our professions overlap, you know, quite often, but I guess I'm not an engineer at the end of the day, and so I don't know all the ins and outs of engineering, and vice versa. I wouldn't expect engineers to know all the ins and outs of surveying. I think all those points you touched on are important, you know, the early involvement, clear communication, mutual understanding. Here in Omaha and survey, we're big on our survey work orders, which I'm sure Caleb knows very well.
Yep.
So along with those work orders, I know we very much appreciate when the engineer, our CA, whoever is providing the work order, you know, comes down and talks with us face to face. It kind of gives that personal relationship aspect. At the end of the day, that helps with collaboration and building trust and, you know, working as a team.
For sure. It's the value of not just being in the same company, but being present and being face to face and having that conversation, being in the office and being able to walk down the hall and have that touch point makes that communication just flow so smoothly. It provides more context. It allows for some back and forth that can be more difficult when we're not doing that face to face. So
absolutely.
I appreciate that. That makes a lot of sense for somebody who's looking for, how do I collaborate better? Well, part of the answer to that is go talk to somebody, go face to face, go have a conversation and be willing to just work through the back and forth. You'll wind up with a stronger result at the end of that.
Absolutely. And I feel like here at Lamprey-Nierson, everyone does a good job of that. You know, just coming down, talking through the scope of the project and, you know, if there is any issues, working through those issues as well.
Yeah. Caleb, how about you? What advice would you give to teams or project managers looking for that same kind of strengthening or that same kind of collaboration? What really helps engineers better understand field conditions, survey constraints, and how staying connected through a project can improve results?
My big one was the same as John's. Focus on in-person, face-to-face interaction for that early communication. You know, if that's not possible, at least try to pick up the phone. Emails are great for transferring information, but you definitely can lose some of the context and some of the challenge that may be overlooked when you just have a brief email.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree, we do a good job of going down and talking to someone, making younger engineers, this is how you're going to do a work order, and you're going to go walk down there and put it on John's desk and explain to him what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
that's a good way to ensure communication is thorough, and it's a great learning opportunity. I talked about early in my career and still to this day, walking down and bringing something and somebody else can very quickly say, oh, there's some holes in what you're trying to do, or the format you gave me doesn't work because of XYZ reason. So I think my engineering skill has been bolstered by just discussing those problems with a surveyor or with a CA member and saying, these are the problems that I see with my experience and my lens. How do we make this better? The field condition understanding for engineers is critical. So we talked about whether it be the 360 camera or really just understanding what you're asking for. That's not something people are born with necessarily. That's definitely a skill. We've seen all young engineers have to go through a learning process of, hey, you asked for this. This is pretty much impossible. Or you designed something right smack dab to the property line. Well, there's a building a foot away on the other side of the property line. That's really not possible what you're asking us to do. Mm-hmm. So if we have clear and often communication, we can try to troubleshoot some of those items. We can be better for our clients. And at the end of the day, we can have a better relationship if it's not Caleb just giving John junk repeatedly. If we're at least talking, he can tell me, oh, this is really hard, or, oh, this doesn't make any sense. Then I can get better, and our working relationship can be quicker, easier, faster, more agreeable if we're kind of aiming at the same target and trying to make each other's jobs better at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's that willingness to learn. You've talked about it a couple of different times, even indirectly, but the willingness to have the conversation, what can I learn out of this so that I can do it better the next time, that cements that relationship more and more and allows us to be more efficient, provide better service, and just grow as a professional in this industry. It all starts with that willingness to learn. And when we're willing to collaborate and share back and forth, we're effectively teaching and learning from each other through all of those processes. And it's so valuable to the power of we, to who we are as a company and to how we can continue to grow and collaborate. And in fact, what I want to do in that vein is zoom out just a little bit. So beyond the individual projects or the processes, we're talking about legacy, this legacy that we're building together. So, John, when you think about Lamprey Nearson's legacy, what role does collaboration between these two departments, these two groups, between survey and engineering, what role does strong collaboration play in shaping that future? And how does working together day in and day out influence the quality of our work and the impact that we leave on our communities?
So I think, you know, collaboration between survey and engineering is, you know, going to remain extremely important in the future. Both surveying and engineering are essential roles, you know, in helping us to continue and deliver community-changing projects. And I believe working day in and day out strengthens communication, trust, and collaboration, you know, which ultimately improves the quality of our work. And by combining, you know, different skills, experiences, we're able to solve problems more effectively and deliver better outcomes for our projects and leave a positive impact on our communities.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks, John. Caleb, from your perspective, we've talked about this. It's kind of been this theme that has run through, is this idea of interconnected teams, even as we're trying to break down into some specific examples. But how does this really lead towards this stronger culture within the firm? What does the power of we look like as we think about the future of our work and our profession?
Lampert-Nielsen definitely, sells to external clients or new hires that we have a great culture. And I think we do have a great culture. Being able to talk to your coworkers, being able to make your coworkers' jobs and lives easier and efficient, all plays into understanding of a good culture. We want to like each other at the end of the day. We got to work with each other at the end of the day. So having the relationship between departments, having the relationship between engineering and surveying just leads to a more healthy dynamic. And on the external client side, we're also selling them that we have this part handled.
Yeah.
That you're buying a package and the package includes all these services and they should work together as seamlessly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's other options where you could go out and piecemeal all this stuff together. And, that's one avenue. But I think we've been super successful by being able to package design quality, survey quality, staking, responsiveness, and quality. And schools is a great example. We work through the entire thing. And I've had direct feedback of they want us to take it over. They want us to handle it. They're hiring us so they don't have to be the middleman mm-hmm. in between different independent agencies. So that completely builds our culture and builds our work product at the end of the day. Future of work, it's probably only going to get more so if we look at emerging technologies and how things have changed. Even in the 10 years I've been here, everything is more integrated into that digital model, into yeah. that final deliverable. We're pretty much selling our final construction models anymore with how much those are utilized, and our surveying team has to understand that. Our clients understand it. Our contractors definitely understand that. And if our work product can be better, we can have less errors. That's where the industry is going to be headed at the end of the day, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we do that by being more and more collaborative, even with the recognition that, yes, technology is rapidly advancing. I mean, just in the last 6 months, there have been so many changes. And as we look to incorporate more of those for efficiency, the collaboration that exists, the relationships that are there, allows the technology to really strengthen the work product that we've got and kind of cement that expertise for our clients, which is super important for us as we think about continuing to impact our communities in better and bigger ways. John and Caleb, I want to thank both of you for joining me, for sharing your perspectives and your experiences. Conversations like this really highlight the collaborations that exist here at Lampert-Nielsen, and they're at the heart of everything we do. I think it's super important that we take the time to share the value of these collaborations and the connections that we've built. So if today's episode has resonated with you, I again want to encourage you to follow Legacy Listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts so that you don't miss what's ahead. In our next episode, we'll shift the focus to community involvement. We're going to feature Pat Hillier, our Fort Collins office leader, and we'll talk about how engineers can create impact beyond the office. Finally, take a moment this week to connect with someone across disciplines. Ask questions, learn their perspective, and strengthen the relationships that make great projects possible. Because where lines connect, legacies are built. I'm Dave McIver, and this is Legacy Listening. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.